All right, then I will, this is John Coleman, Bloomfield. I will call the CROG Transportation Committee meeting for Monday, February 22, 2021 to order and ask Karen to do the roll call, please.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm asking you to unmute yourself to state your town and if you're in attendance. Town of Handover. Town of Handover. Avon.
Larry Burrell from Avon is here.
Bloomfield.
John Coleman, Bloomfield.
And Jonathan Tesey, Bloomfield.
Bolton.
Patrice Carson from Bolton is here.
Canton. Columbia. Coventry.
Okay, Mark. I just got to sign into the meeting. They'll call my name in a minute.
Are you there, Kirk? Okay. East Hartford.
Wilson here.
E before.
East Windsor.
Should have come up next.
Ellington. Enfield.
Donald Nunes here.
Farmington.
Russ Arnold.
Glastonbury.
Dan Pennington.
Granby.
Here. Kirk Severance.
City of Hartford.
Frank Delaripa here.
Sandy Fry is also here.
Hebron.
Kevin Kelly's here.
Manchester. Mansfield.
John Carrington here.
Marlborough.
Peter's here.
New Britain.
Rob Trottier.
Newington. Plainville. Rocky Hill.
Follow me, Rocky Hill here.
Simsbury.
Tom Roy's here.
Somers. South Windsor.
Jeff Doolittle's here.
Southington.
Matt Turnquist here.
Stratford. Stafford, I'm sorry.
Devin Copperway here.
Suffield.
Darren Isherwood here.
Tolland. Vernon.
Dave Smith here.
West Hartford.
Greg Summers here.
Wethersfield.
Derek Greger here.
Willington.
Trace Pizzato here.
Windsor.
Adam Kessler here.
Windsor Locks. And GHTD.
Yes, I'm here. Mary Deppy.
Is there anyone else from any towns or organization that is online?
Chris Edge, Berlin.
And Eric Anderson, Town of Andover. Sorry, I couldn't respond before.
Is there Len anyone? Norton,
East Windsor, Len Norton.
Okay, thank you. Is there
good anyone? Morning, Jennifer. Jennifer Carrier, Federal Highway Administration.
Is there anyone else online from Kesha anyone?
From the UConn Teaching Center.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Tess Schwartz.
Okay. Thank you.
Mike Fisher from BL Companies.
Okay, John, thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Welcome, everybody. And a point of personal privilege, Kirk and Granby, Maureen says hi.
That's nice to hear. Let's go play golf.
If you can find me a place without snow, I'm on my way. Locally. All right, we'll move on to item number two is the public forum. Is there anyone here, anyone on the call from the public that wishes to address the committee at this time? Hearing none, we'll move on to the adoption of the minutes, and I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the committee meeting held on January 25, 2021.
Patrice Carson, so moved.
Thank you, Patrice. Is there a second?
Eric Anderson, second.
Thank you. Any deletions, corrections, additions?
As always, they look great, Karen.
I agree. Hearing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
Dave Smith from Vernon, abstain.
Thank you, Dave.
Glenn Norton, East Windsor, abstain.
Thank you. Devin Any other abstentions?
Abstain.
Say again.
Devin Copperweight, Stafford, abstain.
Did you get that, Karen?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Any other abstentions? The minutes are approved as presented. Thank you, Karen.
You're welcome.
Staff reports. The Connecticut Safety Academy workshop, Roger.
Right. So we posted the flyer for what looks like an interesting session that's hosted by the UConn's T2 Center. It's called Thinking About Roundabouts in Connecticut. It's on March 16th from 9 to 12. There's a link to register in that flyer. Also, if you have any questions, Lisa Knight at UConn can answer your questions. Scott Bushy, Stephen Braun from Glastonbury, Jack Healy from New Milford, and Jim Travers from Stanford are all part of the roundtable for a discussion, so we just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you, Roger, and you're up for the next one, too, regarding Bill 5429.
Right, so Bill 5429 is the follow-up to the, at our last TC meeting, I gave you a summary of the proposal of various transportation safety and pedestrian safety proposals that were put forth by the Department of Transportation. And then shortly after that at the policy board, CROG policy board voted to support that. And so one of the items that was attached is the written testimony from Lyle supporting the raised Bill 5429 that was before the Transportation Committee on with a public hearing on January 27th. So that document was given as written testimony supporting the legislation with the exception of a small point about there's some wording about a special exemption for the City of New Haven regarding the parking restrictions in advance of crosswalks. So other than that small item, it was heartily endorsed, supported. So we just wanted to make you aware of that.
Do we know if anything has happened to Section 6?
I do not know. I did go online and just saw that I didn't see any other action since that public hearing on the 27th. There was a long list of supporting documents. Quite a lot of support for it. I think there was only one document that was against it overall.
Thank you, Roger. The CT Rides Quarterly Report, Ryan.
Thanks, John. This was posted with the meeting materials as well. It'll be going over some of the key highlights from the report. In November, CT Rides launched a new website, which has additional links and images to liven up the website and make it more user-friendly. They also launched a new virtual meeting room in November to more effectively reach the public during COVID, and they held their first event in the meeting room in December. There were 70 attendees. They continue to run the Along the Lines podcast, producing new episodes and recording others. They also worked on developing a new webinar series called Connecticut in Motion, which will launch in March. On the social media end, they created a new streamlined calendar system for all their 15 social media accounts to make social media coordination and posting easier. And they also created new videos to help explain CT Rides programs and services during COVID. Over the quarter, the CT Rides outreach team held 163 virtual meetings and events, and now total employer participants, stakeholders, and community participants working with CT Rides is at 314. They also updated their Trip Planner software so users can now compare travel modes based on costs, time, and environmental impact. And lastly, they reintroduced monthly drawings of two gift cards for those using TripPlayer to promote tracking trips. And those are the key highlights from the quarter. And any questions, please let me know.
Thank you, Ryan. Any questions? Moving along to Kara and the 2022-2023 UPWP schedule and approach.
Thanks, John. So it's that time again to start preparing our unified planning work program for the next 2 years. So we're now looking at fiscal years 2022 and 2023. So included in the meeting materials was a memo that outlines the schedule and approach. So we have a deadline for the DOT that we need to get it over to them by March 12th. So we're asking for any feedback from the committee either at this meeting or by March 1st. Any additional feedback can be sent to me. But generally, a lot of the core tasks will remain similar to in past years. Some of the biggest changes, though, we have three studies that we anticipate being completed by the end of this fiscal year, so they'll be getting removed from the UPWP, and those were the Transportation Safety and Improvement Study for Farmington and Hartford, the Route 5 Corridor Study in East Windsor, and the Silver Lane Corridor Study in East Hartford. We do have a number of studies that were initiated within this UPWP that are going to spread into the next one. That include the roundabout feasibility screening, the transit priority corridor implementation strategy, the Route 190 and 220 corridor study in Enfield, the Farmington area connectivity study, and then a new task that's going to be talked about a little bit later this meeting, which has to do with a new TOD study that we're initiating this fiscal as well. And there's going to be a couple studies that will be added into this UPWP that are new completely, and those will be the East Coast Greenway Gap Closure Study for Hartford, East Hartford, and Bloomfield, along with a Route 20 corridor study up in Windsor Locks. We've mentioned at some previous meetings that DOT will be doing another corridor study solicitation as well, and we anticipate having more information on that next month, kind of some concrete information finally, and we anticipate that at least one study will be added to the UPWP as a result of that solicitation as well. So if anyone has any questions, comments, concerns?
Any questions or comments? I have some observations.
Sure.
Kara, not in any order of importance, but I note that the review time for the committee is about a week and the review time for CONDOT 7 weeks. Just an observation. I was a little disappointed that there didn't seem to be much discussion or emphasis on the Boston connection. There was certainly reference to, you know, being participant, but there was no sort of emphasis on the Hartford Springfield Boston connection to the extent that I would have liked to have seen. And then finally, I understand the reasons that we're not doing the transit strategy and deferring to the Greater Hartford Mobility Study, but I have this real concern that going forward that CROG's interests, the region's interests, will become subservient to CONDOT in that mobility study, since they are the overall manager of that study, and that my sense is that they're going to focus on the state's transportation needs as opposed to any of the lower levels of government's transportation needs in terms of priorities. I think that's something we need to be alert to continually as we participate in that study.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I know Rob's been working very closely with the Greater Hartford Mobility Study team. And we are still progressing with the priority corridors implementation strategy, which is really a core tenant of what would have been the full-blown regional transit strategy. But your comments are definitely noted.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, when push comes to shove 2 years from now, I'm just concerned, you know, where the ultimate priorities will be placed and who will be making the ultimate decision-making without sufficient local and regional input. Mm-hmm. If history, you know, continues. Any other comments on the UPWP? Thank you, Kara. Rob, the 22-23 biannual budget and the STF impact.
Yeah, earlier, a couple of weeks ago, the governor came out with his recommendations for the 2022-2023 budget. We've posted the PowerPoint that kind of summarizes some of the long, you know, budget document, obviously. Also, obviously, there's various news sources that have reported on the budget. But and this is just the governor's, you know, suggestions. So this all has to get argued and determined. But I can give you some of the highlights transportation-wise, especially with regards to what happens to the STF in the proposed budget here. I think most importantly, LOTSIP is still in it at $67 million a year, which is level funding with STP Urban as of this current year. It is unclear whether it'll be level funding with future years because the feds don't have a budget yet, a bill yet. So it would go under, you know, the continuing resolution kind of thing is what we're under now for us for STP Urban. So it is level with that, with level funding. But as I mentioned, we don't have a federal bill yet to determine what that's going to look like in the future. As far as the STF goes, there is some things they had to do to get it in balance. They propose a couple. First off, they assume that we're going to get some COVID relief funding and that DOT will be able to secure $100 million in each of the next 2 years of COVID relief funding. Secondly, it assumes that a couple legislative initiatives are going to pass, one being the TCI, which is a transportation climate initiative, which would involve kind of like carbon credits. And in the end it's estimated that would increase cost at the pumps. You know, the charges to wholesalers or, you know, fuel wholesalers. But eventually, obviously, that gets passed on. But that the system of the carbon credits has been very effective for housing, for electric transmission, and is in effect in Connecticut already. This would extend that over to the transportation sector. And there's, you know, I would say that there is, you know, obviously there is some opposition to that, so it's unclear whether that legislation will go through. The second piece of legislation is also unclear that it will go through. It's the, you might have heard about it, it's the truck, I guess it's a tax, it's a usage tax on trucks. So instead of tolls, it would be a tax on trucking through the state. And obviously that's also a controversial thing. Both of those add up to $150 million a year annually when in full effect. So really when you're talking about it, we're, this balanced budget for the STF is dependent on various funding sources that are still uncertain in the tune of potentially up to $250 million a year, which is maybe around 25% or a quarter of our of the annual transportation budget that the state spends. So it's it is balanced, but it's balanced on some big ifs going forward. And we'll all pay attention to where that all goes through the legislative process. And that's kind of a big picture. We're keeping an eye on some of the other impacts. The main impact, one of the main impacts it had is on, there are some transit impacts, some additional, some subsidies are getting cut for transit. There's also some reconfiguring of where some of the money goes, some what they call, there's less spending in the express bus service, which could have an impact on our region, and we need to really flesh out what all those impacts are.
Thank you, Rob. Any questions, comments? My only observation, having looked at that, is, as you say, it's based on ifs and maybes, which is never a good thing when putting a budget together. And there's certainly nothing new and exciting for the greater Hartford area, for this region. We're probably going to see some reductions in transit, and there's nothing new and good that I saw in the budget from a transportation other than hopefully holding the STF viable. Moving on to other CARE, Connecticut in Motion webinar.
Just wanted to quickly share with everyone, we were made aware of this after we had sent out the meeting materials, but CT Rides, in coordination with the Hartford Business Journal, is going to be putting on a series of webinars called Connecticut in Motion. And the first of those webinars is coming up on March 2nd with the topic of transit and COVID-19. So we just wanted to make everyone aware of that. We did post the information about that with the other meeting materials, and I will put the registration link in the chat, but that it's going to be moderated by Dennis House from News 8 with Rich Andreski, who's the Bureau Chief of Public Transportation at the DOT, Samuel Schwartz, and as well as a infectious disease specialist from Hartford Healthcare. So it should be an interesting conversation, and the first, as I said, of a series related to transportation in the state.
Thank you, Kara. Is our fearless leader with us today?
He is not.
He is not. Okay. Moving on, we do not have any TIP amendments that I'm aware of. And so we'll move on to item number 6, which is the Capital Region Roundabout Screening, the authorizing resolution. This is an action item. Roger?
Right. The action before you would be to recommend the authorizing resolution for approval to the policy board. So this is a resolution for the execution of an agreement with Vanessa Hagen Breslin, VHB. For the development of our Capital Region Roundabout Screening. So where we are, we did issue the RFQ. We did have a selection panel. We reviewed the qualification statements, developed a short list of five candidates. We interviewed those five firms. We ranked the five firms. We chose, based on that ranking of the interviews, VHB. So this would, we are in the process now of finalizing a scope of work, and then we would proceed with negotiating a fee, and then this would allow Lyle to enter into an agreement with them to get going on that roundabout screening process.
Thank you, Roger. Any questions? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to approve the resolution.
Patrice Carson, so moved.
Thank you, Patrice. Is there a second?
Rob Deftonil, second.
Thank you. Did you get that, Karen?
Well, who seconded?
Jeff Doolittle.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any discussion? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? It's unanimous, Karen. Moving on to item 7, which Kara touched upon, is the UPWP revision of adding task 14. Tim?
Yes, thank you. So this is a study that would be looking at the transits, the TOD corridors that we have in the region. So looking at station areas around the Hartford line as well as CT Fast Track. And what we would be doing is taking a look at various aspects of transit-oriented development and the roles that various organizations play. We would also be looking at visioning for specific sites and testing that visioning to see how it works out with the zoning, as well as other rules and regulations. And then also testing that as it relates to financial viability. So having a real estate firm come in and actually test, you know, whether or not the buildings as envisioned would be really buildable, if they would be marketable, how that would play out in the market. And then also looking at developers. And then finally, the study would be looking at an analysis of financial tools that currently exist, and trying to figure out, you know, if they're being used And if they're not being used, what are the barriers to their use? How could they be made better? And what gaps exist in the sort of funding stack for TOD developments? And we had a meeting on Friday with all the towns who were involved, and they were all very supportive of this particular study.
Thanks, Tim. Any questions? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to approve the resolution.
Patrice Carson, so moved.
Thank you, Patrice. Is there a second?
Sandy Fry, second.
Thank you, Sandy. Any discussion? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? It's unanimous, Karen. Thank you all. Move on to item number 8, which is a presentation on the new Signal Technician Certificate Program. And we're pleased to have Teresa Schwartz from UConn T2 here, I believe.
Hi, how are you?
Good, welcome.
Thanks. So we just wanted to give a little update on what the T2 Center has been up to during COVID to continue assisting our towns. I don't think I have control over the presentation here.
Oh, you can go. Yeah, you can go ahead and Michael advance for you.
Okay, you can go to the next slide. So I know a lot of you are familiar with the T2 Center. For those who aren't, we're one of 51 centers in the United States helping local municipalities, providing technical assistance and training. We've been involved in Connecticut for almost 40 years. Next slide. So we offer a number of programs for public works departments and also local traffic authorities. We have our Road Safety Academy, Signal Academy, and the newest program I'm here to talk to you about today is the Traffic Signal Technician Certificate. We had a lot of feedback from through the Signal Circuit Rider program that Connecticut municipalities had some retirements and had, you know, not a lot of opportunities for training for signal technicians. So we created a new program that I'll talk to you about a little bit later. Next slide. We've continued to provide technical assistance throughout the COVID pandemic. In the photo there, you see Melissa Evans, our safety circuit rider, completing a road safety audit. She's still doing those, just the parts that you would typically do in the office, the briefing before and afterward, are being held via Zoom. And then they're still doing the site visits using, you know, social distancing and all of the required precautions. So we're still finding ways to reach out to the communities during COVID. Next slide. Some of the resources that we offer are our Connecticut Crossroads newsletter, our Leadership Lessons newsletter, and then we also have some technical briefs and tailgate talks. Next slide. Special programs we offer. We have a roadway safety poster contest for children that's going on right now. The submission deadline for that is March 12th. So if you have any kids or know some kids who would be interested in participating, usually give out a Chromebook and some other really great prizes for the kids. We also host Creative Solutions Awards, and the flyer on the right is for a work zone safety program that Melissa Evans promoted last year, where all 169 towns got work zone safety packages and training. Next slide. We try to bring communities together. Before COVID, we used to have roundtables and training and all kinds of discussions. This year, we're not able to do that. So we've been offering some programs that are to provide information on COVID and how to, you know, adjust. And we've also started having some coffee and conversation events where we talk about different safety and traffic signal topics. Next slide. Just a kind of a brief training update. excuse me. We have a new learning management system that allows participants to register online, and you can check your transcript. You can print certificates for employee files. We also updated our website and our workshop schedule so that it's more interactive. You can click on the link and get all of the information and register in one place. So hopefully this will make things easier for the towns to register people. If you're on the Public Works or the LTA listservs, Mary McCarthy has sent out some information on some training that's coming up. That's for whoever in your town is responsible for registering employees for training. So if you haven't signed up for the listserv, you can reach out to either Mary or myself, and we can get you the information for that training. Next slide. So this year we plan to offer workshops in all of our programs. Some of the workshops are being offered virtually. Public Works workshops, a lot of them are better in person. So we've found some locations where we can maintain social distancing and all of the safety precautions during COVID. There's some highlights of what we're offering this year. It's all up on the training calendar online. Next slide. So for an update for the Signal Circuit Rider program, we still have the Signal Academy. We can provide technical assistance with any signal related issues. We've helped towns put together traffic signal management plans. We're still doing that. Next slide. And this is what I really wanted to talk to you about today. We have a new traffic signal technician program. It has two levels within the program, level one and level two. This year, we plan to offer level one only, just to launch it. And we feel that some of the programs would be better offered in person. So next year, we're going to offer level one and level two. There's four required workshops for each level. We designed it so that you could complete the program within a year. And the pricing structure is similar to our other programs, like our Road Scholar or Public Works Academy. The first workshop is going to be Traffic Signals 101. It'll be offered in the spring, we're thinking April. And we put up a new webpage for this program on our website, so you can check that out. Or we have a flyer, I believe it was part of the meeting packet. If not, I can forward that along. And we're really hoping to provide topics that can help our towns maintain the legacy equipment they have, but also prepare our technicians for the future, which is becoming more about programming controllers and newer technologies. And then we also have through our Signal Academy the roundtables on current up-to-date topics. So if you have any need for a signal training, if you have technicians on staff, this is going to be a great program for them. Next slide. Just to give you a little update on the Safety Circuit Rider program, we are still offering the road safety assessments, equipment loan program. Everything is still up and running. And as I mentioned, there's the coffee and conversations. On March 3rd, we have one coming up. It's on the Transportation and Climate Initiative. I believe Roger mentioned our March 16th roundtable on roundabouts. And then Melissa also has a coffee and conversation planned for March 31st on improving pedestrian safety. So you can look for those. Next slide. And other ones that are not on the schedule yet, we have performance-based intersection design and sign installation and maintenance. Those will be up on our workshop calendar on the website as soon as we have the details for that. And if you would like to contact Melissa, she's at melissa.evans@uconn.edu. Next slide. Another thing that's new within like the past year is our safety example repository. It covers a number of topics, and it's really just so that if you are thinking about implementing a safety measure, you can go on the repository and find out what town has already done this, you know, where they've implemented it, how it worked out. It's nice to have local examples instead of something from, you know, Colorado. So just wanted to let you know about that. Next slide. And then this is just the contact information for our team. If you have any questions or need technical assistance with anything, you can feel free to reach out to myself or anyone on the team, and we would be happy to help. So I appreciate the time just to give you a little update, and feel free to reach out with any questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Teresa. We appreciate your presentation. Are there any questions or comments at this time? Well, thank you again. Any other business to conduct?
Yeah, John, I'd just like to tag on to your comments about the UPWP. We're still drafting the UPWP, so there'll be a comment period that folks can comment on it. This is the UPWP for the next 2 years. To follow up on the Boston, Hartford, Springfield, Boston Rail, we are finishing up a study right now, and our consultant is just about done. And we're going to come out with a rollout plan after. It's an economic benefit study analysis. And we figured that the current East-West Rail study up in Massachusetts didn't really address that. So we got a consultant to do an economic benefits analysis, and their results, they're finalizing that up soon. And we're going to come out with a rollout plan for the press release, along with, we're going to take care of the politicians down here. We're going to try to release it through various politicians in the region, and Pioneer Valley is going to coordinate with some of their delegation up there. So that you can look forward to too. And then, also, with not doing a regional strategy update, transit strategy update, we really do have a great opportunity to include any regional priorities in our Metropolitan Transportation Plan update, which is going to happen in a year and a half. We definitely don't want Condot driving the boat on our transit priorities. But that's a great opportunity for CROG to set our own agenda in the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. So I just thought I'd bring those couple things up.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Rob. Any other business before the committee? Hearing none, a motion to adjourn would be in order.
Patrice Carson, so moved.
Thank you, Patrice. Is there a second?
There, Burrell, second.
Did you get that, Karen?
I'm sorry, who made the second?
Larry Burrell.
Okay, thank you.
All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? We stand adjourned. Everyone be well, be safe, and thanks for attending.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, all.
You too.
Take care, bye-bye. John.
Be well.
Golf's coming soon, John.
Yes.
All of us.
I can't wait.
Other than watching it on TV.
I know, it's terrible. I have a new hip to try out. I can't wait. I'm hoping to hit it a little farther this year.
Okay.
Bring it on.
Hit it or throw it.
No, I'm going to hit it.
Take care, all.
Be well, guys.
Be well, everybody.
Bye now.